Well, I welcome you all with great respect and great love. That's a phrase that used to be used at this retreat place I went to often and came to realize that that really kind of holds together who we say we are as followers of Christ. I welcome you all with great respect and love. Now, in our gospel reading today, Jesus speaks a startling word of grace that he intends his followers, that would be you and I, and the ones back then that were heard him originally, to consider themselves radically identified both with himself, with Jesus, and with God, to identify ourselves with them. And His word of identification connects us to the one of the verses in Genesis that it was in the lectionary reading last week. I don't know if you heard that particular one, since there's always four to choose from. But in Genesis 1, verse 27, it says that we, each of us, is created in the image of God. So we might as well identify. I mean, right? That it immediately connects us, doesn't it? Connects us to God, that we are identified with God. And you know, there's an ancient story in the Jewish Midrash, one of the collections of stories, that says that each person, each one of us, has a band of angels going in front of them, going in front of him or her, proclaiming, "Make way, make way. Here comes an image of God." That's pretty cool. Think of, yeah? Just imagine for a moment what the world would be like if everyone treated everyone else as Jesus, as if everyone saw themselves as Christ's love embodied in the world, an embodiment of the divine, interacting with another embodiment of the divine. I'm always reminded of a line from one of the songs by the country rock and roller from Oklahoma, Leon Russell. Whenever I reflect on this particular scripture passage, this image, and I paraphrase from one of his songs, he sang, "Never be unkind to a passing stranger. It might be the Prince of Peace returning." Welcome. Welcome. It's such a common word. It's such a common word. It adorns floor mats. There was a floor mat up here for the kids' time. You should have come up. You could have seen it. Welcome. It adorns floor mats, outsides, all kinds of entrances. It's on road signs, right? As you enter a new state or a new town or a national park. There are places where people offer welcome as a greeting when you come in, right? Some of the different stores, you know, welcome to wherever, right? Or, you know, good evening, come in, a table for two. Welcome to the greatest show on earth. Although that one's not going to be with us anymore, is it? Such conventional uses hide the loveliness of that word, welcome. Now, in English, the word finds its roots in a compounding of two words, of well and come. Though with slightly different connotations than we tend to use them today, the root of well could go in two directions. It could mean something close to our current understanding of wellness or well-being. And some scholars also, they see a link between well and wheel, W-E-A-L, which is the root of our word wealth. And so there's a kind of a blessing with this, either way that it's used. And the word come finds its roots in an old English word for comer, that is, one who arrives, or perhaps a little closer to the Greek, one who is received. And thus, welcome can offer in its earliest sense an invitation to come and be well, or to be well in coming. And either way, it's an invitation. It's an invitation to be received into the goodness of this new place, of this place here that one has just arrived. We use the word casually and commercially, making one welcome. It's not as simple as offering a word, although it often begins there. It starts with offering a word. For the art of making one welcome is rooted in the ancient practices of hospitality. And preparing to welcome someone takes thought, intention, and discipline. Some practitioners of hospitalities are masters of the art. They're always ready with the accoutrements of welcome, right? They have the word of greeting. They have the appropriate beverage or food, a comfortable chair, a few thoughtful and respectful questions of the comer. And their very presence seems to wipe away the strangeness or the awkwardness of social greeting and making one feel at home right away. You probably know somebody like that. You know, if you've ever been the recipient of such hospitality, you know what I mean. And if you are the master practitioner of such hospitality, please know that those of us who have received this have noticed it, and we want to thank you. Perhaps the measure of true welcome is the ability of the host to make the guest feel at home. You know, there are some places where one can go and always feel at home. It may look different, it may smell different, it may be full of strangers, but somehow it just feels like home, and it's good to be there. And for Jews and Christians, such hospitality has been a part of who we are. It always has been a part of who we are. The call to welcome the stranger, it's anchored in the Torah. It's anchored in the law. It was a part of the measure of the Hebrew community's faithfulness to God. And when a traveler came to town, the traveler waited at the well. It was in the center of the town, and it was incumbent upon the townspeople to house and to feed the visitor for the night. Now, of course, those travelers were rarely family. And those were folks unknown to the community. They were aliens. They were often foreigners, people who had different foods and different clothes and different languages and different gods. And opening one's home was risky. And today we'd probably describe such a thing as, I don't know, foolish, crazy, not wise. You know, it's been said that just as the human need for hospitality is a constant, so it seems is the human fear of the stranger. But such hospitality, it was central to the Hebrew identity. You see, the risk, it did not define the people, but their hospitality did define them. For they knew such hospitality was central to the character of their God. And the same was true in the early Christian communities. Paul reminded the Romans to offer hospitality to the alien. And in the letter to the Hebrews, the people were reminded to show hospitality to all, for in so doing, some entertained angels unaware. Reminds me of the Leon Russell song. In the Acts of the Apostles, the early deacons they practiced hospitality throughout the community, bringing welcome to those in need. And in Matthew's community, hospitality still measured the faithfulness of the people. Welcoming prophets, righteous ones, and disciples, those whom Matthew called the little ones, particularly the new disciples, it was a disciplined practice of the young churches. And while it may seem counterintuitive, discipline is the key to faithful hospitality. In her book, Amazing Grace, Kathleen Norris tells the story of a nun who, although she had Alzheimer's, she still asked to be rolled in her wheelchair to the front door of her nursing home so that she could welcome everyone who came. And said one of her sister nuns about that ministry, she said, she's no longer certain what she is welcoming people to, but hospitality is so deeply ingrained in her that has become her whole life. And Norris continues, I read somewhere in an article on monastic spirituality that only people who are basically at home and at home in themselves can offer hospitality. Hospitality has a way of breaking through our insularity. What's noteworthy that in the Greek, the word for stranger, xenos, is also the word for guest and host. And in this age of contemporary tribal warfare, of balkanization and gated communities that we wall ourselves off from each other, most of us are all too aware of the term xenophobia, or the fear of the stranger. And such a fear leads to nationalism and racism and even genocide. But as many scholars have noted, Jesus' call to welcome another is a call to xenophilia, or the love of stranger. The stranger who is also a guest, who, as the embodiment of Christ after a long walk on the road to Emmaus, is also the host. So the stranger as guest, the stranger as host. You see, welcome as a practice of a hospitality doesn't just happen. It has to be taught. And so how do we teach hospitality? Well, it all begins with practice. To offer hospitality, we simply bring who we are, and where we are, what we have. You know, at times that may be a whole lot. At other times it may not be very much. But in every case, you see, it's the gesture. It's the gesture itself, the practice that shapes the character of the encounter, that shapes the character of the participants, that shapes the character of the story of grace that is the essence of that moment. From one divine embodiment to another. You know, I recently heard this story that illustrates well this notion of welcome and hospitality. It was one of those terrible sudden storms and cloudbursts that fell upon a newly wedded couple as they drove along this remote country road. And their car, they were unable to go any further. Their car broke down and they got out of the car and they saw this farmhouse just up the hill. And so they got out of the car. They wallowed through the storm and the rain and the mud. And they finally saw a light on in the window. And by the time they reached the farmhouse, there was an elderly couple there waiting for them with a kerosene lamp. They had seen them on the road getting out of their car and coming up to the house. And meeting them at the door, the young man explained their predicament and he pleaded, could we please stay the night? Could you please put us up for the night? And any place, you know, on the floor, a mat, it really doesn't matter, just so we can get in out of the storm. And as he was speaking, a few grains of rice fell out of the little headpiece that the bride had on, and the elderly couple exchanged knowing glances and said, oh, by all means, certainly, come in, you can have the guest room. And so the newlyweds used the guest room that night, and they got up early. They didn't want to disturb the old couple. They got dressed. The man left a $20 bill on the dresser, and they came out of the bedroom, and there, sleeping on the couch, was the old man, and curled up in a chair was his wife. And the newly married couple realized that this poor couple had no guest room, but that they had given freely to strangers. Welcoming another requires attention to the other. It often means setting aside our own discomfort for how one may be different or strange to us and meeting him or her where they are, as who they are. Being an agent of God's hospitality makes Christ's presence known in the interchange. For as Matthew in his gospel reminds us, where two or more are gathered in Jesus' name, Jesus is present as well. So may God continue to open our eyes and our ears and our hands and our hearts and indeed our very lives to the strangers among us so that we might welcome them in the name of Jesus Christ. And for such lives, thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Oh God, you give us life. You call each of us into faithful service, into discipleship in Jesus Christ. Open our hearts in ways that we might reach out to those, especially those who are different from ourselves. And in so doing, may the world be transformed through your love and enlivened through our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.